Hello and welcome to the University of Nottingham podcast series. My name is Olivia Drager, and today I'm talking to Professor Richard Aldridge of the School of Politics and International Relations about balancing security and freedom in an increasingly globalised world under threat from terrorism. Professor Aldridge, how has globalisation impacted on terrorism?
I think many people believe that we're living in an era of global terror. We're often told by our leaders that we're living in an era of global terror. But I would argue that actually terrorism is no different to how it was in the 20th century. What makes things different is the situation. We're living in an era of globalisation, and globalisation offers opportunities to terrorists.
What are the implications for the intelligence services?
I think it makes life a lot more difficult. I think to some extent, with the end of the Cold War, we saw what some people predicted as the end of history. We had people like Francis Fukuyama who said, from now on we're just going to have peaceful democracies with liberalised economies, and we're all just going to compete for higher and higher GNP, and we're all just going to go shopping. Yeah, it's going to be lovely. But the problem with that prediction was that it was based on a world in which economies would be increasingly liberalised, and what liberal economists like is a free flow of money, ideas, people, labour, all those sorts of things. It essentially means removing the borders of states and having a globalised world in which money in particular can just whoosh around kind of freely. Now, that's fine in terms of accelerating the global economy, but it's a problem in terms of security, because if money and ideas and people can whiz around the world without any borders, so can terrorists. To some extent, since 1989, we've enjoyed the benefits, and particularly in this country, in the UK, we've enjoyed the benefits of a fabulously deregulated economy. But we're paying the price, and the price is a decrease in our security. And essentially, it isn't 9/11 that changed the world. It's the globalisation that to some extent is making states weaker, and it's making the life of intelligence services particularly difficult.
Politicians are turning to intelligence agencies for the answers and to help better understand the new context of terrorism. Is it the idea that intelligence services should be preventative?
Very much so. I think as we've seen this shift to a deregulated global economy, as we've seen states deliberately removing their borders, not just their physical borders, but their electronic borders, their intellectual borders, if you like. How do you protect the state? The state has, rather imperfectly, but nevertheless successfully, provided security for citizens since the Treaty of Westphalia in 1648. Once you abandon those borders, what do you put in place? Because when threats come towards your borders, your border no longer has meaning. So the only way you deal with that is to have intelligence-led activities. Intelligence-led policing, intelligence-led anti-drugs activity, intelligence-led anti-terrorist activity, even intelligence-led football hooliganism policing. You know, all this stuff. So there's a huge level of expectation, because if you don't have borders, if you don't have barriers, you can only deal with stuff preemptively. So yes, there's a huge burden, if you like, all the byproduct, all the effluent, all the nasty stuff from globalisation is increasingly being heaped on the shoulders of the intelligence services. I mean, to put it bluntly, the intelligence services are increasingly regarded as the toilet cleaners of globalisation. They get to deal with all the problems.
How has technology changed the relationship between terrorists and security services?
Well, I think to some extent the emblem of globalisation is increased communications. It's mobile phones, it's faxes, but above all it's the internet. Now, what the internet does is actually magnify the power of terrorists. To some extent it puts the terrorists, it puts social movements, not just terrorists, but also protest movements like G8, anti-globalisation protests, on a level playing field with government. And it's all about the decreasing tractability of states. In a globalised world, states move relatively inelegantly, relatively clumsily. And social movements, terrorists, move very elegantly. And we've seen this in the way that Al-Qaeda uses websites. States are still thinking in 20th century terms. They're thinking about broadcasting and newspapers. And terrorists are thinking about websites and email. So to some extent, they're one step ahead. And again, secret services are very small. They're simply not geared up. They're trying to gear up, but they're always one step behind. So very problematic.
Is there indeed a conflict between the response of the intelligence services and civil liberties?
Yes, I think civil liberties are a core question. And again, I suppose we need to see this through the prism of globalisation. When civil liberties are discussed, and there's no doubt that civil liberties have been significantly damaged by the Patriot Act in the United States, by the anti-terrorism legislation in the UK, which we've seen used against groups which are not terrorists. We've seen people who are protesting outside arms fairs arrested under terrorism legislation. We've seen this used in quite inappropriate ways. So there's no doubt that it's having an impact on people. People are being detained without trial, secret prisons, all those sorts of issues. But when they're debated in the media, they're debated in very simplistic terms. It's set up in terms of a debate between security and liberty. So government will say, well, actually, your liberties aren't being much curtailed, but you're getting lots of security. And the civil liberty campaigners will say, we're losing lots of liberty and actually it's not delivering much security. Be inclined to agree with the latter, actually, a lot of these measures are not particularly effective. But either way, that's a very simplistic way of looking at it. And actually, there are three things at stake here. Sure, security is at stake, sure, liberty is at stake, but it's also about luxury. And the reason that states are having difficulty now balancing security and liberty is because of this issue of globalisation. We've abandoned our borders, we've opened our doors in the search for engagement with this deregulated world economy. And so states are no longer just having to balance security and liberty. They're having to balance security and liberty in an open environment, deregulated environment in which anybody can arrive in your country tomorrow, in which you've got free flows of communications. States aren't able to do that. The whole idea of sovereignty is that you have a bounded space within which you can pursue a whole range of liberal, humane projects, do some social redistribution, all that kind of stuff. Once you abandon your borders, you're at the behest of global economics. And that's why states are getting into trouble. They're trying to balance liberty, security and luxury. And that's a big test. And what we're actually finding is it's not about having more security and less liberty. What we're actually finding is we're getting a lot of luxury. We're all better off than we used to be. But we've actually got less security and less liberty. People are actually, we're benefiting in the West. We've had an enormous influence in terms of our affluence, but we're paying the tariff. We're paying the tariff in terms of our civil liberties. We're paying the tariff in terms of our security. You might almost say that terrorism is the tariff that we pay for enjoying all the benefits, the economic benefit, the luxury of living in a globalised economy.
And should we be prepared to surrender some of our civil liberties in the fight against terrorism?
Well, I think one of the problems here is that this isn't a debate that we're having. When we see this stuff debated on Panorama or Newsnight, there's someone from the government saying, security, security, security. There's someone from a civil liberties group saying this is outrageous. But no one's putting it in context for us. And actually, step by step, incrementally, we're moving towards an environment which looks, I suppose, rather like Singapore. Singapore was once characterised as the air-conditioned nation, in which, in much of Southeast Asia over the last 20, 30 years, you've seen a prioritising of economic development, luxury, if you like, and a lower priority given to security, and an even lower priority given to civil liberties. So it's changing, if you like, the basic priorities are social choices. But actually the UK population is not actually being given an opportunity to debate these things.
Professor Aldridge, thank you very much for talking to me today.